My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to have something different today. We're not going to have a teaching. What we're going to deal with is a letter that I have written, and I'm sending it to the churches throughout the country. And I think it's an important letter, so I thought I'd go ahead and put it on my website for the use who listen to the website, that you can understand exactly what I'm thinking. So I'm going to read this letter to you. It's called the Letter to the Church. The Letter to the Church, and it starts off. It says, "Today, the words that I speak will shock all Christendom. However, they come directly from the Word of God. No person will go to heaven by believing in Jesus. We know that Satan believes in Jesus. Wouldn't it be a huge shock to arrive in heaven and see Satan there? There's got to be a difference. There's something different. However, I have to prove this out. And so, with this statement, I said, I must prove by God's word the above statement. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So what is the word of truth? What does that mean to divide it? In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13, it says, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." So the word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. It is the gospel. So what is this gospel that we're talking about? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verses 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So we find that the gospel is salvation for everyone that believes this gospel. Okay? Now, what is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and by which you stand." And it says, "by which also you are saved." This gospel is by which you are saved. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to Scriptures." So if you believe that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose from the dead, you're saved. This is salvation for the church. I didn't say that. God did. And that's the gospel. Paul calls it the gospel of grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. And we can do nothing for our salvation or add to our salvation because Jesus did it all on the cross. And all we have to do is believe it. That's all we have to believe it. And that's the gospel for our salvation. Now, what did I say at first? No one will go to heaven by believing in Jesus. You see, Jesus pointed to what he did, not who he was. Because what he did was what saved us. He paid our sins, thus allowing us to go to heaven. You see, no one could go to heaven because of their sin. And Christ's death on that cross paid for our sin, and all we have to do is believe it. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead proved that God accepted Christ's death on the cross to pay for our sins. And the sins of every person, from Adam to the last person on this earth. So believing that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose from the dead, you will be saved. And that's Paul's gospel and salvation for the body of Christ. Now we know that the gospel is salvation for all people. Thus, what does it mean to rightly divide the word of truth or the gospel. We find after 14 years of teaching, of starting Gentile churches, Paul, that are based on the grace of God, based on the gospel, Paul was having problems with believing Jews that were going into the Gentile churches and were persuading them to add Jewish customs for salvation of the grace believers. And God told Paul to go to meet with the apostles of Jesus. In Galatians 2, chapter 2, verses 2 through 10, and Galatians 2, 7, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision or Gentiles was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, and then James and Cephas and John, or Peter, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles, and they would go to the Jews. Obviously, there's two different gospels, one to the Gentiles and one to the Jews. Both gospels were right, but only to the people that they were intended for. The gospel of grace to the Gentiles and the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews. At that time, when Paul was preaching the gospel of grace, Jesus' disciples were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. These two gospels were totally different. The gospel of grace was primarily for Gentiles. The gospel of the kingdom was primarily for the Jews. And we are told in 2 Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. And we find that is the gospels. We know what the gospel is now, but what was the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus taught? In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. See, they were teaching in the synagogues, and there's no Gentiles in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So what is the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom is what Jesus preached and was dealing with the subject that Jesus was the Messiah. And if they would believe that, they would be, have eternal life. And who did Jesus preach to? He preached to the Jews or Israel. And were there any Gentiles in the synagogues? I think not. Jesus said in his own words when he prepared his disciples to go out, he commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in Matthew 10:5, and then in Matthew 15:24, Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in verses 28, Jesus said, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So we also find that Jesus also came to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. And in doing so, he could only go to the seed of Abraham. And if he did anything other than that, he would have been lying to Abraham. And if he lied to Abraham, he couldn't have died on that cross to pay for our sins, because he wouldn't be perfect. Because Jesus couldn't deal with the Gentile until after the cross. Thus, when we are told to divide the word of truth or the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace, obviously the gospel of the kingdom was for Israel and the gospel of the grace was for the Gentiles. And thus we are Gentiles, thus the gospel of grace is for us and for our salvation. For the Jews, the gospel of the kingdom was preached. However, Israel totally rejected Jesus and his gospel and killed him. And that's why Jesus set up a whole new church. A whole new church after the cross. And that was called the body of Christ. And everyone who lives must be a member of the body of Christ in order to go to heaven. And you only become a member by believing Paul's gospel. how important is Paul's gospel in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which we have you have received, let him be accursed. Does your church preach Paul's gospel for salvation? Most don't. And obviously, these people have a problem. You see, Satan has blinded the Christendom from the gospel of grace. He doesn't want any person to be saved. And that's why he points to Jesus' gospel of the kingdom, or believing in Jesus, or taking Jesus as your Savior for salvation for the churches. However, Jesus himself pointed to the gospel of grace for the salvation of mankind in Galatians 1:11. It says, "But I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man, neither was I received it of man, and neither was I taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ." We have to rightly divide the word of truth, or all Christendom will be lost. Satan points to the gospel of the kingdom for salvation for the church. If he, Satan, can point us to believing in Jesus and his disciples' teachings during the Christ's earthly ministry, Christendom will be doomed, and that is Satan's goal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul states, "If our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost, in whom the god of this age, which is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Thus we have to understand that the salvation for the Jews, the gospel of the kingdom, is totally different from the gospel of grace. So, for example, Peter, in Acts chapter 2, verses 38, states, "We are to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Peter was talking to all the house of Israel. And Gentiles part of the house of Israel? Of course not. Peter preached salvation to Israel, not Gentiles. Was Peter right? Sure. Yes, he was right. For Israel, Paul preached the gospel of grace for salvation to the Gentiles. And the gospel was that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose from the dead. Did Paul say anything about believing in Jesus, or repenting, or being baptized, or taking Jesus as your Savior, or taking Jesus in your heart? No. I beg you that you truly, rightly divide the word of truth and believe Paul's gospel for your salvation, because the only in Paul's epistles is the salvation for the body of Christ. You don't have to walk an aisle or shake the hands of a pastor or be baptized to be saved. You must just tell Jesus that you believe the gospel and name it, that Jesus died for your sins and was buried and he rose from the dead. And you can do it in your privacy of your home or anywhere and truly believe it, and you will be saved. What happens next? You will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Spirit, Holy Spirit of promise." You see, the second you believed the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is the most important happening of your life. Now you have God living in you. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is proof of salvation. how important is it being sealed with the Spirit? In Romans 8:9, it says, in the last half of the verse, it says, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This Holy Spirit is given only to people who believe the gospel for their salvation. You can't pay it. Pray for it. You can't walk for it. An aisle for it. You can't repent for it. You can't confess your sins for it. Only if you believe Paul's gospel will you have the Holy Spirit. Look what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Can you imagine that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us and will raise our mortal bodies also? In 1 Corinthians 15:55 it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I know that's talking about the rapture, but the Holy Spirit, but with the Holy Spirit in us, we have nothing to fear. Now, if your church is teaching salvation by the gospel of the kingdom or Christ's earthly ministry, run from it. For there is no salvation for the body of Christ but Paul's gospel that points to the cross for your salvation. You can ignore this letter and throw it away, but you'll hear it one more time. In Romans 2:16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. When is that going to be? When is that going to be? That's at the great white throne judgment. And there, all unbelievers that ever lived will stand before Jesus and be judged. What will they be judged by? Paul's gospel. Did they believe that Jesus died for their sins, that he was buried, and he was raised from the dead for their salvation? Of course, none of them would have believed, or they wouldn't be there. And the next thing they will see is the lake of fire. Now, you know how important rightly dividing the word of truth is. Now, are you going to believe that Christendom teaches or what the Word of God teaches? The last verse you need to consider is in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the glory of His power. I wrote this letter that you would know the truth, and that you would turn to the gospel of grace for your salvation, and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the letter that I'm going to send out, and I truly ache in my heart because of the millions of believers in this world never was given the gospel for salvation. And it just hurts me so bad, and because I myself never understood this until I was almost 70 years old, and I've been in church all my life, and I never heard the gospel preached. I never knew that the gospel was salvation. I always thought the gospel, when I saw it, was the Word of God. That's all I knew. And my pastors of all the churches I was belonged to always pointed me to believing in Jesus. And, you know, I was lost. I just couldn't believe it. A man by the name of Les Feldick gave me the gospel. Not a preacher. He was just a cattleman. And he gave me this gospel. And when I saw that, I could not believe how I missed it. And God opened my eyes, and I started studying the Bible, and I've been studying 8 and 10 hours a day for months on end. And God called me to teach, because this gospel has to be getting out. I believe that there's a lot of people out there who do not know the gospel, and they have been chosen by God We are chosen before the foundations of the world. And we have to get this gospel to them. And so that's why God called me to teach the gospel. And so I'm doing everything that I can to get this gospel out. I have it on the internet, on my website. We're handing out gospel tracts by the thousands. We're going on with almost 40,000 gospel tracts we're sending out. It got out. And over 30,000 cards that I have out dealing with advertising my website. And we're just doing everything we can to get this gospel out because we think that we're getting close to the end times and when Jesus is going to come back. And in the rapture, it talks about in Thessalonians. I don't have my Bible with me right this second. But in Thessalonians, I think it's 4:14, it talks about the rapture. And it starts off, if you believe that Christ died for your sins and He rose from the dead, then you can go to the rapture. You see, if you're not believing in the gospel, you're going to be left behind. And that's going to make it even worse. So my prayer is that each and every person here comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ through His gospel. Because, see, He pointed to what He did on that cross for our salvation. Not pointing to Himself, He pointed to what He did on the cross. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You so much for this, able to put this little message out, and I pray that You would bless it greatly, and as I send it out throughout the churches throughout the country, that the pastors would wake up and start preaching the gospel so that not only they would be saved, but their whole congregation would also. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.